This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You can say all what you want, but financial freedom while hiding your expertise is not real.
I almost look at it as a necessary evil. The thing is, for me, is I'm not a writer. That's not my background. That's not my area of expertise. And so I'm leveraging tools like AI to help me become a better writer, to take the ideas and thoughts that I have and turn it into something that works well.
Type of qualified client that I get from LinkedIn probably will take me years to get from Instagram.
This is the Brown Way to Money podcast, where women of color in business find their financial independence path. Because financial success is within our reach, but by playing by their rules, it is only going to take us halfway there. To succeed, we must take ownership of our voice with money. So, welcome to the Brown Way to Money podcast.
Listen, you can say all what you want, but financial freedom while hiding your expertise is not real financial freedom, and it's not achievable. So today we are going to talk about it, because I don't want to be seen, or what will people say when they see me posting on LinkedIn, like what my family, my ex-employers, or whoever comes to mind will say. It is not only a mindset thing, but it can be the very thing that is blocking your money. Yes, a money block. So for me, it is so important that as a woman of color, we have this conversation, because financial freedom is visibility, and visibility is financial freedom. And today I have an expert on this platform that we are going to talk about and get all of the questions that I have personally answered. Thank you so much, Natasha, for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alejandra. I'm excited to be here.
Listen, Natasha had a conversation with me about LinkedIn. It was like, what, 20 minutes? And I discovered so much about it. I'm like, oh, that. And it reminded me a little bit of some things that I do with my private clients sometimes. I have this fun thing to do with clients that they tell me, well, how do I know what are the money blocks, or how am I showing really that I have some money blocks, mental blocks with money? And I go to their landing pages and I will tell them as I go through the landing page, like, hey, why do you put like, where is the call to action button? Like, why is it only at the end? Why are you waiting to give all of this information? Why are you going through the payment plan options and you have 7 payment plan options? Like, why is that? And then I can start really seeing the money blocks or the financial trauma popping up there. I think that was kind of what happened in our conversation with LinkedIn, when you were like, well, you can tweak this and you can tweak that. And then I asked myself, why you have not done it. And that's why I think it's so important for us to have this conversation, because beyond just posting in a platform, I think this is about the root. And what we talk about here in the podcast is the root of things, the root of behavior, the financial behavior. So I want to start asking this question. When visibility has historically been dangerous, when being visible has been, you know, we have a history as a woman of color, that drawing attention and being visible has been dangerous. Some may say we are in some of those times already. How do we start reclaiming that visibility through these platforms is a necessary pathway to have that financial independence?
That's a really good question. And I think, you know, it does go back to this like reframing. I think it's about reframing what visibility actually means, because I think a lot of us believe that it, by showing up and posting content and being visible, quote unquote, it's a vanity or ego project, right? That it becomes the Alejandra show or the Natasha show. And that's not what it is at all, actually, right? The reality is you're showing up and you're serving your audience. You're solving a problem that people have, and you're actually doing a disservice by not sharing content, by not showing up, by not being visible, you know? And I think that's a really great reframe to help people understand, like, me not being in front of my audience is truly doing a disservice.
Right. And it's doing a disservice to them, because you don't share it. But I also think by staying invisible, you're doing a disservice to yourself, to your five-figure years, right? To your six-figure years, because how? Like, how are they going to find you? Like, in a world where everything, pretty much everything nowadays is online, how they're going to find you, that is actually keeping you miles away from where you want to be or where you say you want to be. And I love the reframe. And it's something that I had to do very early on my journey. Because mind you, I don't know if you can notice, English is not my first language. Second, I don't know if you can notice, I look way different than people on the internet. So I had to start thinking, oh, this is why I need to show up, right? Because I talk different. This is why I need to show up, because I look different. This is why I need to show up, because I know that there are more like me that would like to show up, but they cannot show up yet because they haven't done that shift. And that's when I started to, you know what? I'm just going to do it for them, not for me, for them. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's good to start off with that of like doing it in service for something else. But at the end of the day, it's like you're saying, if you don't exist in the digital world anymore, it's really hard to grow your business, if at all, right? Like there's zero trust, there's zero credibility. And yes, maybe within your network, your small circle here, they know of you, but we want to be bigger than that, right?
Right.
So it's
right.
Important to get yourself out there. But whatever that reframe is, that's going to help you look at it in a way that doesn't feel kind of that icky or, you know, whatever that block is that's holding you from doing it.
And what do you think were some of the most overlooked ways platforms like LinkedIn, which is your forte, can help women to grow their income, their influence, and more than just the income, to grow their awareness and their client base if they are not incorporated? Because that's what we hear, right? That this platform is for corporate. Probably most of the people there have their bosses. They're, you know, I remember when I started LinkedIn, I had all of the students back from my university, all of the people, like my colleagues in my first jobs. But how, like, what are some of those overlooked ways that LinkedIn can help?
So I love this question because there really is so much opportunity on LinkedIn. And if you think about it, there's 1 billion users on LinkedIn, but only 1% of people are posting any original content. So let that sink in for a second, because that's very few people actually putting any content out there. So even though it may feel like it's busy and full, there really are very few people doing. And so you can imagine your audience, like you can become the go-to expert in your industry within your network just by showing up. And so that's one of the things, like the opportunity to own your industry. It's so real. It's just a matter of understanding how to do it and being consistent with it. And that's something that I feel like on other platforms, you just don't have that opportunity, that chance to really dominate an industry on there. Because you think about, like, take down that 1% and then go even further to the industry that you serve and then who you serve within that industry, like you're not competing with that many people, right? Mm-hmm. And so there really is just so much opportunity to stand out and really become the go-to expert in your space. And that's why LinkedIn specifically I love so much, because of that chance to really stand out, you know?
What is the formula that you have, you know, nailed down for this to happen, for somebody to become a person, a go-to person on LinkedIn?
Sure. So there's 5 pillars to a successful LinkedIn strategy. The first one's mindset, like we just talked about a little bit. I think so many folks have PTSD from their corporate days, as an example, right? They feel nervous posting on there. They've only looked at it as a digital resume versus, you know, an office or networking conference opportunity where you can meet people, you know, so just understanding like how to approach LinkedIn. The second part is your personal brand, right? So understanding very clearly, in this case, on your profile, are you showcasing your expertise? Are you speaking to your ideal client? Is the messaging on part? Is it showcasing your values, right? All these different areas around your personal brand, you really want to make sure it's in alignment with what it is that you actually do. The next piece is content. So you need to have a great content strategy where it's showcasing, you know, not just expertise and things that you're known for. So instead of like a, you know, how to do something, which you can find on ChatGPT, you can do a how I did this, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very much showcasing your expertise. You need to find that blend between this type of content plus you know, personal humanity, vulnerability right. type of content that people really connect and bond over, as well as social proof and showcasing, you know, what you've actually done. Why should people trust you? So those are very much areas around the content strategy and actually showing up and being consistent with it. So it's not like you need to be posting every single day, but you do need to be showing up, let's say 2, 3, 4 times a week consistently. The fourth piece is social selling. And when I say social selling, I think that's time that also gets people like, oh no, sales are, I've been burned and everyone's going to pitch me or whatever it is. But there's a way to show up on LinkedIn and social sell. And I really just mean having conversations that lead to real results, right? And it's there are really good ways to do it that feels authentic and natural. It doesn't feel like you're pitching. At the same time, though, if you don't tell people how they can work with you, how are they going to know they can work with you? So sort of mastering what that dialogue is behind the scenes. And then that the final piece is really that accountability and consistency part to this, right? Because you can go gung-ho and start, you know, showing up, you know, posting every single day and do that for 2 months. But then if you disappear for 6 months, that's not going to help you long-term. And so it's right. really figuring out what is that strategy that fits into your schedule that you can continue and maintain to do indefinitely.
What will be the deciding factor for somebody listening to this episode to whether or not continue in other platforms like Instagram, TikTok, because those are the, you know, the platforms that everybody says you should do the pivot to LinkedIn? I tell you personally, the first years of my business, I invested a lot on Instagram because that was where I felt more comfortable, quote unquote, comfortable, but also because I saw a lot of the people I wanted to serve there, right? But that type of client and that type of lead was way different and it cost me a lot more than it's costing me on LinkedIn. The type of qualified client that I get from LinkedIn probably will take me years to get from Instagram. But what do you think is a good way to think and analyze whether it is time or not to switch platforms?
So I have many clients who've done the same thing, and it's because they feel so burnt out from the energy and effort they've put into their Instagram strategy and have seen zero results from it. And so I think it's okay to have your Instagram, right? And honestly, the way that I look at this with my clients now who've made that transition, when you think about creating content with LinkedIn in mind, which is very much thought leadership, authority building, it's a different type of content than that what you see on Meta, which is much more, I think, promotional. When you position yourself as an expert, as a thought leader, and create content with that in mind, you can repurpose that content onto Instagram and it'll do well, right? It's not going to be optimized for Instagram, but it still does the part of like showing up and existing on Instagram if some of your clients find you first on Instagram and then go onto LinkedIn. But the reverse is not true, right? So if you create content for Instagram and try and put that on LinkedIn, it's going to fall flat. And so I think, especially if you don't have all that much time, which most of us, you know, are busy running our businesses, what I think a really great strategy is to start creating for LinkedIn in mind and then just repurposing it on the other platforms instead. And so you can still have a presence on those other platforms, but you're going to put more of your energy and focus on LinkedIn.
Hey, sis, I want to interrupt this episode just a second to remind you that Rewire, yes, 10 Black, Brown, and Latino women with massive success who are going to tell you how they did it. How did they grow to more than 200,000 followers platform and created the six figures, multiple six figures business from scratch? You will hear all the raw stories. This series is open. These are women you don't always hear from, but you should, because hearing the behind the scenes of how they broke patterns, reclaim their power, and build lives that are richer in every single way is what you need to hack your own mind from financial trauma, from limited beliefs, and start growing your own platform. You get access right now if you go to brownwaytomoney.com/rewire. That is brownwaytomoney.com/rewire. These are 10 women, 10 different stories, massive success, how they did it exactly.
but you're going to put more of your energy and focus on LinkedIn, which is really where there's a lot of opportunity. And what I'm seeing so many people, like you're just saying, you know, if it would have taken years to get that on Instagram, but you can find and get in front of the right people on LinkedIn within days, right? I mean, yeah. It's just so powerful how much opportunity is really on there.
So here's an insider game data that I'm going to draw. But as a Forbes contributor, I get a lot of pitches. A lot of people are trying to pitch me their story, their business. But interesting enough, I don't get a lot of women of color pitches. And I am telling you, in fact, if you stay until the end of this episode, you will hear exactly what I'm working on for Forbes, for Business Insider, for HuffPost, because this is my space to let you in so that you can go into the shortcut link that I give to you on the show notes and tell me like, hey, I heard that you were working on this. I think this story will fit you. I get a lot of pitches from people in general, from companies, for all the type of people, but women of color is very little. And that has to do with visibility. How have you seen that posting on LinkedIn alone can create or build that confidence with you and with your business so that you are, you know, a little bit ahead on when you come up with these opportunities, across these opportunities, like ones that I provide for people, you are not double thinking about it. You are not questioning whether you are the thought leader to be featuring Forbes or not. How you seen that that has helped?
That's one of the takeaways that so many of my clients have, is the level of confidence that they feel after working together because they become more consistent of showing up on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And it's because they are experts. You know, you are a thought leader in this space, but they've never shared it in this light on LinkedIn specifically. And so once you start to do it, and then there's that positive reinforcement, because then people within your network that know and love you, they obviously are going to support you, but then it spreads, right? And most of my clients, and interestingly enough, you know, 75% of my clientele, they're women of color. I mean, it's something that I don't know where there's that overthink, double thinking you're talking about. There's a lot right. of that was happening of overthinking.
Wait, so to ask them.
That, yeah. So having that like thought partner to support and help with not overthinking and just putting themselves out there, because the feedback they're getting is just so powerful, right? And what we're doing is taking what they've already been building in real life and how successful they are with their business and what they've gotten to now. Now we're just amplifying it further on LinkedIn in a way that really gives them so much confidence. And it's just absolutely amazing. And I think that's something that once you start to put that type of thought leadership out there, it's just really different than if you, what we're used to promoting on like on Meta, for example, that is more about like, hey, at this company, we do X, Y, and Z. Right. Whereas here, it's more about like, hey, this is my take on this situation, right? And it's just a yeah. very different way of creating content that most people are just not used to. And so once you make that shift, I think that's where that confidence of like, oh yeah, I know exactly what I'm talking about and I'm really great at this, you know?
I think this clicks exactly into the reason why I believe this conversation is so important as a money conversation. Because for women of color, we are doing wonderful things. Like when you kind of sit down and take a deep breath and you see what you're creating, it is not like half things done. Like you have put all of the effort. Yeah. You work extra hours, right? You are putting everything and you have built so many good things about that. But because we are in the creator hamster wheel where all of the noise is in there, all of the, you know, it's a platform that tends to compare you in less than 30 seconds. Did you grab the attention or not? Then that can, like, the effort that you're putting and what you're building can take a second or third place into the equation. And then it ties to the, well, I don't have money because I cannot succeed on this other platform, or I cannot make an income with my business because I haven't, you know, have the perfect strategy so that my reels go viral or my TikTok goes viral or things like that. So it can create a connection that is only a mental connection. It's not real. It's the platform is allowing you to create that. what I have felt with LinkedIn is what you said. I get to showcase my expertise in a way that is my expertise. And this is what I'm working on. And that has built my confidence. And of course, I know I'm doing great things, but it's always good to share with people from that space of, I know I'm doing great things, not from that space of, I need to hook you in the first 30 seconds. Maybe you have to, right? It's part of how you write copy, but you are not thinking if don't crack the code on how to hook people in the first 3 seconds, then I just wasted 5 hours of my day. But you're thinking it in the other way, or I'm thinking it. It's really my personal experience. When LinkedIn, you're thinking it, people will get to read what, like my thoughts on a specific topic. People get to interact with what I'm doing with this specific thing. And that is another way of, you know, I don't know what it does to the mind of wanting to create more of because you feel good about what you're creating. What do you think? Do you resonate with that or no? Is it a bunch of bullshit?
No, I totally get it. I mean, honestly, I don't know if you'd believe this. So I'm an introvert. I used to be super shy as well. And so even putting myself out there, being in the sense, like it's hard for me. I struggle with it. And even though I built a whole business around this, like I really have a hard time sharing personal things on their expertise when it's my own like hot take on something. Like it's really hard to do.
Right.
But what happens when I do share this stuff, that's when I get like really amazing conversations afterwards and when deals close. Like, I posted a video and videos are really hard for me and I'm trying to get over this fear right now. I shared the video. It led to a comment that led to a DM that led to a call the next day that led to a closed client the following week. And it was because of me sharing that vulnerability and putting myself out there and connecting with people in a way that I never would have been able to otherwise. And I think that's what like the magic of LinkedIn has for you, but it's not easy to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's uncomfortable. And I think that's why 99% of people don't do it because it is challenging. At the same time, again, going back to this idea, just there's so much opportunity on there. And so it's finding that thing that makes it easier for you to do and show up.
Is it something or is that thing being too visible on platforms like LinkedIn? Is it a problem? Like, what if you go to the other side and say, okay, I am going to post 4 times per day, or I don't know if you have that kind of time. Like, is that a thing, being too visible?
So on LinkedIn specifically, you really don't want to be posting more than 1, maybe 2 times a day. I see some people that are doing, you know, the mornings and then afternoon after work session kind of thing. And then especially if you have like an event coming up or you want to repost something, like that's okay to do as well. But you don't want to be posting 4 times a day. It's not like Twitter, I think, where like people are anything that comes to mind you put out there. You do want to be sort of more strategic about the content you're putting out there. And then, you know, there's also the folks that are like, oh, this isn't Facebook. Like, be careful with like the personal stuff. And I think the thing with personal posts is that you want to find a balance of how much of that you want to do. And whenever you do have a personal post, that it does drive back value to your audience versus it, again, just being the Alejandra show. Like, we want to make sure that there is a reason that you're sharing this that isn't just that ego vanity type of thing that we were talking about. And so I think those are the caveats I would say about being too visible, where it's like too personal, which just brings the wrong type of visibility that you want. And then, you know, just showing up too many, just posting for posting's sake, like that's not really going to help either.
Right. So that leads me to my next question. What is your most unconventional thoughts and advice on visibility?
Ooh, gosh. I would say, so this is going to sound totally crazy because I am technically a content creator. I mean, I am a content creator. That is what I do. But for me, content, I almost look at it as a necessary evil to have conversations. And not that I think content is evil, because it's not. It's great. The thing is, for me, is I'm not a writer. That's not my background. That's not my area of expertise. And so I'm leveraging tools like AI to help me become a better writer, to take the ideas and thoughts that I have and turn it into something that works well on LinkedIn. But the biggest part that I think so many people forget about is that the content is just one piece to it. That next most, like, it's the combination, excuse me, of the content plus conversations behind the scenes, right? Because I'm on LinkedIn to get off of LinkedIn and build relationships. That's where you're going to see real results. That's where you're going to see real ROI. And so many people get caught up on just content, but we need to be having conversations also that take get off of the platform that then you can see real opportunity and business growth from.
I love that. And I love that you say you are on LinkedIn to be off LinkedIn. And I think that's one of the few platforms that rewards that, that actually encourage you to do that, right? To network outside. And okay, I think we have gone to all of my questions, but I want to tap into something when you said create the relationships and the connections. This, how do I phrase this? I'm thinking about that one. There is a misconception around building and growing a business, or there is a misconception or a misunderstanding, not misconception. There is a misunderstanding that you need a network to grow your business. And that is the reason why you have a conversation. I want to know your thoughts, just piggybacking on what you said, because you want to create those relationships that were sparked, like your post sparked that conversation. What is the mindset that you have when you go into having these conversations that I'm guessing is far from, I need to create networks so my business can grow? What is the actual mindset that you get into these conversations?
You want to go into it genuinely and authentically to like serve and to support versus, hey, I'm going to pitch you something, or there's this ulterior motive that we're meeting now, but it's actually because I want to pitch you my services. Like, that's not going to feel good. And that's not how you start relationships, right? And so you want to think about, how do you build relationships in real life, right? And how has your business been so successful to date? How did those relationships form? I'm guessing it didn't happen overnight. I'm guessing it didn't happen with you just going up to them and pitching them right away, right? There was some common ground that was established first. There was some conversations. There was things that kind of happened, or introductions, whatever that is. Like, what you need to do now is figure out, what is that digital version on LinkedIn? Right. And I think that's what people forget. You know, we are the first generation to be networking and building our businesses this way on into the digital world. Right. Like, this is relatively new. And so it makes sense that it may not feel natural, authentic on how to connect with people on LinkedIn.
But right.
You also want to remember that there's a human at the other side of this. Right. It's not just a little image and the little thought bubble or whatever. Like, there is a real person there. So how can you actually connect with them? Like, so show curiosity. Be genuine, right? Like, ask questions, give. Like, I mean, there's so much that you can provide to people without any expectations in return. And that's when more happens that way. You know what I mean? I think you just have to go into it more with that, like, giving mindset of how can I support you versus, hey, here's my product, buy from me, you know, because no one's going to hear that. We're so tired of being sold to on LinkedIn, especially. But, like, be a real person. Yeah. And I think the other part too is, you know, I used to say all the time, like, how LinkedIn has turned into this never ending borderless digital conference where everyone's down to connect and network. And I think there's a little bit of a tweak to that now for me, because I'm realizing that people also don't necessarily know how to network in real life either. And so what you want to be thinking about with LinkedIn is, like, these are your colleagues. Like, don't assume they're going to be your prospects, right? Like, think of these people as your network, because we don't go into an office anymore. I don't have actual real colleagues. I'm a solopreneur at this point. But I want to grow my network. And so I'm building my network of colleagues who are my advocates. They're my biggest folks that are going to speak on my behalf when someone else needs LinkedIn support and such. And so I think when you go into it more of like, hey, these are my people, then we want to support one another and you want to see each other grow and win and be successful. But don't go in like everybody is somebody you should be pitching to.
Yeah. I love that you put it into the colleagues' feels, because that's what I feel when I go into LinkedIn. I have like two type of crowds, my colleagues, but also my sisterhood, the people that I know that they're waiting for me to drop something that I found on a research and just hear my thoughts. So if I'm not talking to my colleague, I'm talking to my sisterhood. And that really feels different from any other type of content. But also, I am so tired of getting sold on LinkedIn, because it is the same approach that comes back to visibility and comes back to when I go to the landing pages, it's the same money blog. It's not like you're going to connect with somebody and straight away say, hey, do you want to buy this? Even when you're doing door-to-door sales, when that used to happen, you have the time to ask the person, hey, how are you? Like, do you have kids? You have to have at least like 10 minutes of chat so people can connect with you. What happens is that on any platform, especially on LinkedIn, you are there for a specific amount of time and you're out. So if the only message that you receive is like, would you like this is what I'm, because this is what I receive. Hey, I'm running a masterclass here. I think you will be a great fit for that, right? That's what the messages that I receive more often. And I think if I knew a little bit more of like, who you are, what you do. If I saw a little bit more of your content, maybe that message will work, but you literally just sent me a connection invite. Like you literally just rang on my door and I didn't even finish opening the door and you told me to go into your masterclass. That is not the type of visibility and authority that I think we have the potential to do. And I follow somebody that does great work. Kelsey Brown, I think she's, don't quote me on the name. I will link her on the show notes because I think if you want to be on LinkedIn as a woman of color, she is one to follow. But she has this great strategy of just sharing what she's thinking about. And after a couple of months, she said like, hey, do you want to go into the masterclass? Like I've seen that you comment and you interact. And I thought, yeah, why not? Like I like your content. Same thing. Probably is the same strategy. Two different moments, two different timing that reflects what you are saying exactly. It's just building that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like people are asking to get married before you had even went on the first date.
Girl, I don't know if I want to be married in the first place. Like, don't ask that question. You know, right? It's just like you gotta understand what your partner is thinking even before you think about getting married.
It's true.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, and actually, this is, I like to call like that those threads, the common threads that we're trying to find, we can connect over before we dive into that pitch or whatever it is, the real conversation, the business piece. It's that ice-breaking content. It's those things, those little tidbits of personal things that you can bond over. And so that's actually why I know a lot of people have a really hard time taking their LinkedIn profile and making it feel, add those personal touches to it. But that's why it's actually so important. So you can find things that you can connect over in an easier way, right? And so when you think of it as like, okay, now I'm trying to find like little nuggets or leave nuggets for people to recognize like, hey, maybe we would hit it off. You know what I mean? Like there's a vibe here. I want to get to know you a little bit better. And that's because of those little pieces of personal touches that you can actually add on your profile.
Yes. And I'm laughing because I just think every time that you say that, I'm just thinking swipe right or swipe left, but it's not what you do in LinkedIn, but it's actually true. You're putting like where you're, because that's how we connect on the internet era, right? Before, and again, I'm not the best networker. If you ever see me on a conference, most of you have seen me on the podcast, like in video. But if you see me on a conference, I'm super shy. I don't want to talk. I am very bad at breaking the ice. Like I will wait 5 seconds quiet, waiting for you to ask me something rather than me asking questions. That being said, I understand how important it is for me as a woman of color to overcome that fear of rejection and fear of visibility if I want to grow my brand. And in my path to financial independence, I understand this is a part of owning my voice. Because the reason why subconsciously I wait for others to talk first is because I don't want to disappoint anybody, or I don't want to come off as too much, because I've been told all my life that maybe that's too much, or maybe, I don't know, it's so many subconscious things that go on that those 5 seconds are long enough for me to say, so what are you doing here? So what I have found is that the more you show up especially on LinkedIn, the easier it gets to have these conversations, because you are the one who put your thoughts out there. You're the one who creates this conversation, or you're the one who engages in other conversations, knowing that what you have to say is valuable. Is valuable enough to add to the conversation. So I really, really like it. We have gone over time already on this interview. So Natasha, please let us know where they can continue the LinkedIn conversation specifically, or visibility in general with you.
Yes, of course, definitely on LinkedIn. Natasha Wallstra is where you'll find me pretty much daily. You can also check out my website. It's nearpointstrategies.com. And I recently started a newsletter, and I'd love to see you part of it.
And we are going to link all of that on the show notes. And before I let you go, I promise you, I was going to give you what I'm working on, the publications this week. So for Forbes, I am looking for you if you are building or have built your business to break any generational thing. If you founded your business because it was a promise with your grandparents, like it was my case, I want to hear from you. If you are running your business because you support your family with it, I want to hear from you. You just go to the link that I'm going to leave on the show notes. It's going to say pitch your story here. And please do so there, because my email, I have like literally 9,000 unopened emails. I'm not going to get through those. Just go through the form and pitch your story. Also, for Business Insider, I am looking for stories about if you're a female breadwinner, how you are supporting your family, but also if you are a woman of color female breadwinner who has reshaped the way that they approach money because of their business. I want to know about those stories as well. Just pitch it in the same form down on the show notes.
Okay. Did you hear something that you liked in today's episode? If so, don't keep it to yourself. Go ahead right now. Yes, right now, before this episode ends, and send this episode to those three friends, three girlfriends that you know you can go to talk about finance, independence, money, business, growth, entrepreneur life, and all of these juicy topics. Share this episode with them, because that is the only way we can grow together. I'm Alejandra Rojas, your host, and I will see you next week.
Marketing is hard. But I'll tell you a little secret. It doesn't have to be. Let me point something out. You're listening to a podcast right now, and it's great. You love the host. You seek it out and download it. You listen to it while driving, working out, cooking, even going to the bathroom. Podcasts are a pretty close companion. And this is a podcast ad. Did I get your attention? You can reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a pre-produced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience in their favorite podcasts with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com, that's LibsynAds.com today.